The year is 2021. The Wellington Phoenix are based in a dystopian world called Wollongong.
The Wellington Phoenix Football Club basing themselves in Australia for an entire season.
A crack team of agents has been dispatched to bring an artifact only known as the toilet seat back to New Zealand.
It's disappointing that we have to go down this path.
Having to move sort of your whole life over and adjust to sort of a new city.
However, they're not the only ones trying to stop the artifact being claimed by Australian forces.
The latest COVID outbreak in Sydney looks set to turn the new A-League football season upside down.
Will they survive the barren wastelands of Australia? Will they put the ball in the back of the net often enough? Will they finally score more penalties than they miss? Will Wollongong have enough wind and rain? And will they finally be allowed to return home to Wellington without having to do 2 weeks in quarantine? Find out in the latest edition of The A-League.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City for a new season. That was a pretty hype intro that you've just heard. None of Cam, Dale, Frosty have heard it. So my levels of hype are high, but their levels of hype are going to be moderate to high because they haven't heard that.
That means he hasn't made it yet.
I haven't made it yet. I've got an hour when I get home to get out of that by 2 p.m. How you doing, gents?
I'm alive. That's a good start.
Yes, New Year's Day, everybody. New Year's Day record at 11 a.m.
World's best hummus and spent grain crackers, though.
Yeah, shout out to Mel and Dave for the breakfast they put on.
Is it breakfast? I don't know.
It is if it's the first thing you've eaten today.
Fair.
That's the definition.
It's some quality snacks, Dave.
Yeah.
Some quality snacks.
Yeah. Cam, how was your New Year's? You've just put food in your mouth, so I'm going to go to Frosty instead.
My New Year's was the same as his, except he left earlier.
Not by choice.
No.
I got forced to leave by two screaming children.
Well, to be fair, your daughter was asking to leave for quite a while before that.
Were we not invited to this New Year's?
Would you want to hang around with four under six-year-olds?
Correct. Thank you for not inviting me. Foster.
You're welcome.
I don't have to feel bad about
when
not coming.
When you have kids.
Yeah.
When you've got kids, there you go.
Dave, how's your New Year's?
It was very quiet.
Big night on the town, I assume.
Chilled at home. It was fantastic.
Yep. DJ was playing till 3.
I was technically awake at midnight, but mostly I was just playing video games, and it was great.
Yeah, sounds like the dream. Football Manager, or...?
No, I was playing a game called Deadside, which you won't
never heard of that, no.
No, me neither.
That's pretty niche there.
Yeah.
But hey, we've got a new season of football to talk about. The 2020-2021 season, which we're just going to call the 2021 season because the Phoenix didn't play shit last year.
Exactly.
And we get to kick off against Sydney FC Saturday night, day after New Year's Day, as we record today. On any day, it would be the day after New Year's Day, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I do the whole Saturday night thing.
You could use tomorrow as we record.
Yeah, tomorrow as we record, and hopefully as you listen.
You can tell he's a bit rusty about this. Hey, we haven't done this for a while.
Well, it's been so long since we've done a season, it's been football.
Football.
What was it, July that the season ended? Was that when it...
No.
August.
August.
1987 in my memory.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
It was a pretty standard length for an off-season, wasn't it? 5 months or so?
Yeah, I don't think by choice, but...
It felt a lot longer.
See, I think it felt shorter to me because we didn't know when it was coming back at any point. It could have been earlier, it could have been later, and you just kind of forgot about it.
Also, and it finished in August rather than May, and then it wasn't that long before we were back into the... handy prem, so there was actually football to watch.
Yeah.
So it has kind of extended the season, if anything.
Yeah, as someone who doesn't partake in handy prem, goodness, Frosty.
Oh, it is a very long trek around to Miramar.
Yeah,
I do love Centennial. That is my alma mater.
Yeah,
but it is a long
fucking David Farrington Park now.
Yeah, but
Centennial was all
about the old days, right? 40 years ago,
broke my first leg there.
Nice.
Yep, wasn't cool. Mine.
Yeah. I've seen you play.
Smile on your face right that? Now. Yeah. You are so proud of that moment, aren't you?
I was 11. I was pretty stoked with that one.
Great. Back to the A-League, rather than broken legs. It is Sydney FC who have done pretty well with their squad signings and things. One of the two clubs who's been really bossing it over this weird COVID period. Melbourne City being the other one.
They might not have finished too, by the look of it.
Really?
Yeah, Bobo's just gone off contract.
Oh, well, he's been released. About that. Yeah, although they're looking to sign him as kind of injury cover rather than.
He's not a bad injury cover.
No, I mean he's 2 years older than we last saw him in the A League, which does make a difference. But
oh, and just to throw another name out there that's been bandied about this week, Matt Ryan apparently is available. As
wow,
well.
Really?
Don't know if any A League clubs are looking, but surely someone is.
If he's available, why would you not signed?
So find the money.
Yep. How come he's been released?
I'm not sure of the reasons. I haven't followed it that closely. I just know that he apparently is available, and I'm sure he'd be keen to come back home. So,
well, Europe's fucked right now.
Well, and that'll be the thing, though, right? There's probably offers in Europe, but it's a matter of what's more important: coming home and being a bit safer, or seeing out some contracts in Europe. I'm not sure.
Actually, yeah, the point might be it could be Brexit related as well. So could be issues.
Yeah, I would have thought that somewhere like Germany would have been like.
Yeah, it doesn't speak the language, I guess.
Everyone speaks English there.
True.
Question of which third language they speak.
I mean, if he's looking to come back to Australia, which for whatever reason, then you'd take him. He's worth 5 goals a season, right? And that's the difference between that's probably 5 points.
The
as well.
Standard of A-League keepers, it's more than 5.
Well, it's
probably 5 points a season.
To be fair, with the current standard of the league and the standard of the defenders in the league, where we've lost quite a significant number of the good import defenders because people have focused funds elsewhere, he would be great signing. I'd take him at the Phoenix in a heartbeat.
It made sense why MacArthur signed Federici. For exactly that same reason. Like, he was playing at championship level and a very, very good keeper, and you bring him into the A-League, he's possibly the best keeper in the league, and it made a world of difference for them. So,
We don't really know much about how the Phoenix is going to line up, do we? There's been some preseason games, but I can never quite tell how much to read into those.
I think all but maybe 2 spots are fairly settled because the last 3 or 4 games they were turning out roughly the same core, centre. It's really only Davila that I think is the issue, and Piscopo's picked up an injury by the sound of it.
Do we know what that team is? Does anybody know it off the top of their head? I mean, looking at you, Cam.
So the last I heard, we were still doing the 4-2-2-2. I thought we made, considering the level of player that we've had to lose this season, I considered that we may be a little more pragmatic and do more of a 4-2-3-1, have a slightly more defensive structure there. But I think we'll be looking at central defensive pairing is probably going to be Tiatafai and Devere.
I reckon it's Laws. I don't think
that's a fair shout, actually. Yeah,
because Tiatafai hasn't got game time. He's only just come back, and I think that's why Laws stays in there.
You're right. Again, as a toss up, I think it's probably going to be Payne, but Fenton is obviously back now as well, so there's a possibility. And left is McGarry. He's got that signed, sealed, and delivered. I can't see anybody else coming in there.
There is no one else.
No, which is actually a concern. Genuine concern at this point. I think central midfield is probably going to be Rufa and Cammy Devlin.
Yep.
And then ahead of them, you're going to look at Davila. And I think the spot beside him is
Piscopo.
But if he's not injured, but it might be up for grabs because Clayton Lewis can play in there as well. And up the top will be Ball and the noose import side. Hemed, that's it. Can't remember how his name goes. I can't get it to stick up here for some reason. Tummy. So, yeah.
On paper, that looks like a pretty weak team, but you compare it against what other teams in the league are fielding this season, and I think it is at least average. Like, it'll get you fifth place, sixth place. I don't even
know that it's a weak team. The only area I have any concern there is our back line.
Yeah, and that's why I think...
The 6 you've got playing in front of them, and they're as good kind of midfield and strikers as we've had in a long time.
See, I'd say 5 rather than 6 because I'm not sure that Rufa is...
We've seen him play very well as an A-League quality central midfielder. Yeah. On his best day, he's as good as the rest.
Yeah, but I'm totally
right.
Agree.
You're completely right. He does have some weak games. But I think pairing him up with Devlin, you actually have a lot of the qualities between the two of them that you want in there.
Yeah, I think you'll see Rufa sit in behind Cammy a lot more because that's his natural game, and Devlin's is to push forward a little more. So that back 5,
6 and 8 basically, 6 and 8 difference.
I think they'll play side by side, but they'll gravitate that way.
Yeah.
We saw
that with Steinman anyway. You saw a level of that. You know, it was technically playing long side, but 100% you see them gravitate towards their natural roles.
But you're right. That back 4. I mean, we have Devere, sure, but he was the junior partner in that central. We've lost a very good left back and a lot of attacking component out of there. Right, great with Payne still there, but it does mean that we're having to slot in a right centre back and a left back, and so it kind of leaves us fairly weak across. If we had managed to keep a strong centre back, and I think Teautifai could be another year or two,
player. I think Teautifai is the player for that slot. I think by the end of the season that will be his spot.
I would hope so. Because he showed enough last year that he looked like he was making good progress and was very solid and had some outstanding parts during the game, which is really good. But, yeah, what we need out of him is basically De Vere, the same way that De Vere played junior for Taylor. Yeah. Is like so consistent and just did the essential basics, nothing more, nothing less. If Teautifai can do that, boom, done.
I think actually there's legs, actually, because De Vere doesn't have any. Right, he needs a Zimmer frame to get around. He's got some pretty knees are worse than mine.
It's quite interesting calling him junior partner because he's not junior.
Yeah, yeah, he was very much the secondary guy though. It was Taylor running the shots.
Yeah, secondary, yeah.
He will be calling that this season. So whoever's playing, I can see you say junior partner there, but that junior partner needs to have legs to cover him because whilst his positional play will be excellent and his distribution will be good and his reading of the game will be good, he doesn't necessarily have the legs to get where he needs to.
For me it's his turning circle. He's a big unit, he can't stop and turn. That's not his thing.
Yeah, but I think either of those options that he is going to be paired with has the legs. I think that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know anything about Laws. So Teautifai, definitely. I think he definitely does. And I say I think he will be the man. But I don't know anything about Laws. Never seen
I've only seen like some of his highlight things. And he's a really capable. He looks quite like he knows how to play the game, but he didn't. Like the footage I saw of him, he wasn't playing centre back. So I think that he's just one of these multi-skilled players. You know, same way that Clayton Lewis does further up the field. You can just put him anywhere and he'll do a serviceable job. But he's only 21 or something. Yeah, and getting thrown into the A-League, you know, his first full professional contract as a centre back, that's a big ask.
I think this is the thing for me. I think three out of your four there are kind of unproven in the A-League. I mean, we've seen people like Payne play some A-League, but it's not like we've seen him consistently playing well in that position and you know, A-League proven. So you've got three out of four a bit untested at that level. You know, they can probably do the job, but they haven't actually done it before. And then your fourth one is De Vere, who's shown himself to be an A-League quality player, but not a standout by any measure. Whereas in Taylor, you had someone who'd proven themselves to be a real standout. So you've got someone you're asking to step up and to be the leader of a back line that's pretty untested. I mean, De Vere's got a lot of experience there, but he's a middling A-League player, really.
And he's never really been a leadership kind of guy. He's the quiet, unassuming guy, which, you know.
I think here Marinović will help out, I think, because Marinović is the not quiet and very outspoken player.
Correct.
And
he's also a nutbag.
Well, exactly, but that's a good thing for a keeper in this case.
Well,
like standing at the back
keepers
and,
keepers tend to be, though, don't they?
It's more
a different breed.
But it's kind of like, for me, yelling at defenders. I mean, that's something that goalkeepers do and do well, and they need to rack up their defenders. But running that back line, organising them, it's very tough from that far back.
I don't think yelling is what I'm advocating for. I think if they screw up, he'll yell at them for sure. But I think he will be able to see the things that need to happen in front of him and help try and show that to the defence. Where in the past years we've had Durante, who his mind became way better than his body was able to do on the field, and he read the game superbly well. Taylor, for example, doing the same thing. So I think that we'll get that from Marinović, and it will fall back a little bit on him, just as much as it will on De Vere. It'll be both of them needing to do it, but I think we can try to fill that gap in with those two players. If we didn't have Marinović and we're relying on Zach Jones or someone like that, then I would be more worried.
For me, that works for whoever that right centre back is, but your wing back, well, your fullbacks, they're a long way away. They're not going to be able to hear Marinović well, and he's certainly not going to be able to get much of a read on when it's that far away. So I think that's where we struggle, because they're both very new. I mean, Payne, he's not a right back. He's learning to be a right back, and McGarry has never played at this level. What, he got one game or something?
He's played for Eredivisie.
Yeah, but it's a question of
higher.
Whether it's a question of whether he's coming back as a fully fledged right back, having played it, or whether he's come back as a, you know, a whatever.
I think he will come back a much better player than he left.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
The Dutch league is really good for getting rounded players, but structural players, it's kind of it can be good.
Yeah, but you're right. They play with a free flowing style. It's total football, as is a quoted cliche many, many times. But he'll be a much, much better player now than he was when he left.
Yeah.
But so again,
in short, we all agree this is where the question mark of the lineup is yeah. that back line. And we all probably think they could step up, but whether or not we'll see them actually step up, we just don't know. Hopefully, you know, we know De Vere is probably capable of leading that back line really well. We know all of the players who will be in there are probably capable of playing. Will we see that from day one? We just don't know.
Yeah. So up front, oh, sorry, Cam.
No, I was just going to change topic, so please feel free.
I'm changing subject as well. Up front, you guys saw a lot more of Gary Hooper than I did last season. How much of a loss is he actually? Is it completely covered by the fact we've still got De Vere and Ball, or is it that's five goals a season gone that we need to try and find?
I think it's covered by the fact you've got Hamid.
Hamid is...
he is fantastic. He is an even better striker than Hooper.
Okay.
At the position Hooper's currently at. Yes. I mean, Hooper at his prime... is Hooper at his prime. Hooper, who can run on one leg for 20 minutes a game versus a guy who's actually coming a lot fitter. And, I mean, he scores goals with his head. He scores from inside the six. And he scores long-range screamers. He is just an all-round striker. And we are very lucky to have a guy like that.
What I like about him the most is he's an old-fashioned nine.
Yeah.
He's able to bring other players into the game. And that's where we are strong anyway. We've got guys like Davila, Piscopo, Ball, who... really feed off other players, and I think that he can be that back to goal guy that can involve them more, because that's been our problem, is that transition through, is that when teams stack back against us that we've not been able to break them down, get them behind them. We don't need to with a guy like him. He's a unit. Yeah. Like you see him bully old, you know, championship centre backs, you know, absolute English professionals. So I think he could be good. It's whether we can find those combinations. Yeah. If we can, then we all of a sudden we've got two ways that we can play. We can hit them on the break. We can hit them out wide. We can go through the middle, play back, involve people between the lines.
Because goals weren't the problem last season until post-COVID. But do we think we go back to that kind of December through March attacking lineup where we're scoring goals almost for fun?
No.
No?
No. Without Kakache, like a lot of traffic came up that way, and what didn't come through Kakache, it was like Piscopo, because they were worried about Kakache hitting wide, or they dragged the whole back line across to cover that our left hand side and made space through the middle. So without him there, I think that opposition teams are going to be able to play more structured defence.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to struggle.
Man mark Ulysses out of the game. Might they man mark roll out of games, for example?
Well, they did man mark, anyway. Just kick him.
Yeah. They're doing that at the end of the season anyway. They're just kicking him out of the game.
Right. And
we've got Ball can also cover that creative role. He's a very creative player, but he's a different style of creative player. So
He's work rate. He's solid work rate.
He's not flair. I think I would describe Ulysses as some flair.
100%. That's why they complement each other so well.
Yeah.
I think the bigger question there is Uli for captain. I thought that was a really odd call.
That's weird as shit to me.
Yeah.
I was surprised by that as well.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go to David Ball.
Yep.
And
he was basically wearing the armband the entire time, and everyone thought it was a fait accompli, and then it's like, no, Davila wasn't even in the frame. It was Marinovic, De Vere, Ball.
Well, that makes me wonder if it's part of the contract negotiations to keep De Vere around. It's like, you can stay and we'll give you the armband. Like,
yeah, because it might be the, I don't know about the rules around the salary cap and what you can pay outside of it.
Yeah.
But perhaps there is a payment for your captain outside the cap.
There's not.
Isn't there?
No. Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
No. But he's a marquee player anyway, isn't he? Or is he not?
Don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. But
I didn't think he was. I didn't think we had any marquee. Maybe.
Yeah. Hamid is going to be a marquee player.
True.
Yeah. Either way, I think you look at our squad, and I think we're heading back towards kind of the Phoenix of old, where we clearly have a leadership group. Mm. I don't particularly mind who's wearing the armband. It's clear that David Ball will be part of that leadership group, and he'll be mentoring some of those younger guys and having a key role in that leadership structure anyway.
Yeah, I think where I was leading with that...
It was a surprise. I don't think anyone would have picked that.
Yeah, I think that's where I was leading with the contract thing, and that he's got the armband on, but on the field, it's kind of like you've got a few players, David Ball in particular, being one of those ones that will lead the rest of the boys, especially the younger guys at the back coming through. Yep. So.
And you've obviously got Rufer, who you've been grooming for a leadership role. I think he was the only other name I thought would have been in the conversation, do they give it to him a bit earlier than we expect? Because they've been grooming him for that for a long time.
I wonder if it was just that he wasn't a nailed-on starter.
Absolutely.
Because we know that Redenton, because it's someone we haven't mentioned, So we've got Redington, Clayton Lewis, who can both play in those central midfield roles. And both of them are quality players. In fact, Clayton Lewis is getting picked ahead of Rufa for all white duties pretty much constantly, if we ever play. So, you know, it's there's every chance.
Interesting that you talk about bolted on starter, because I think Davila, we saw towards the end of last season, you know, he wasn't necessarily a bolted on starter. We were using him in an impact role. And you've got to wonder if maybe he might be used in a similar way this season. I don't know that he's a player who's playing 90 minutes every game, right?
I don't think he is. Yeah. I think he's, you know, your 60-minute player.
That's a good way to split your armband across two players. Give it to Ulysses. He has half that he's on. He gets to be the captain. The other half, David Ball, can be the captain.
Yeah,
potentially.
I think that he is suited to that impact role, which is kind of a bench role, coming on when legs are tired, and I think that that's when he could be really effective, whereas you get someone like Ball in ahead of him to just run people into the ground, give him 70 minutes or 60 minutes, and then bring Davila on.
Well, this is exactly what I mean, though. If you're not starting him, giving him the armband, it's the same thing you're talking about with Rufa. It's just a little odd, but I think he's probably a good leader. I think he seems to have decent rapport with the players, but yeah, surprise.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see what's going on at trainings, anything like that, which is probably where this comes from, is how he behaves at trainings and how he lifts the players up when they're in the sheds or if they're in 2 weeks of quarantine, that kind of thing. We haven't seen any of that. We've seen performance on the field. So
I think it's probably performance on the field, and he has a certain degree of mana from that.
Yeah.
And that's probably what it's there for. I mean, and that's fine. You do get some guys who are good leaders by being dead quiet and just being able to just go, follow me, lads.
That is him. That is him.
And to be honest, the captaincy doesn't mean much.
Like, well, really. It might actually bring out a higher level in his game. If he's the sort of guy that gets into that, like if it's not just, you know, oh, I'm wearing the armband, if it motivates him, it might be some pretty good coaching.
In football, the captain has no special privileges like a rugby captain has, for example, where he's the one that can go and talk to the ref if they're unhappy. Like, you don't get that in football. So it's, it doesn't really matter, really. It's like who can choose heads or tails at a toss and who can do all the formalities like that. Do we have any idea what Sydney going to look like other than good?
Other than held on to most of their players.
So yeah, they look like they looked last season.
It's a bit annoying that the COVID change to the schedule have left us with this game rather than Brisbane Roar a few days earlier.
I genuinely think you're going to struggle to look past Sydney and possibly MacArthur for the strongest teams in the league. And MacArthur purely because they're not reliant on the Fox money like the other clubs were. They've been working to a different kind of schedule to everybody else with signing players.
So they signed them 2 years ago, is the thing.
Exactly. So they've got an incredibly strong squad outside what everybody else has been doing. For this year. And then Sydney's held on to everybody.
Yeah,
I think Sydney's going to be incredibly strong. I think we're going to struggle in that game.
Yeah, totally. MacArthur look fantastic on paper because they signed this team 2 years ago, and it's like my concern is that the economy is going to hit them in a year's time, and just they could tank hard.
Very much so.
I mean, because a lot of this backing that they're relying on this season was also committed pre-COVID, years ago on the idea that they were going to have crowds and, you know, this is all going to come back. But this season, they basically just get to burn that money and then they'll have to start again. So it'll be interesting to see what that does do to their kind of long-term funding, because I'm sure people were willing to throw, you know, a bit of money into a hold to get it started. But you're not even going to know if you got anything started if you can't start having crowds and that kind of stuff, which everything's very uncertain in New South Wales at the moment. We just don't know.
Bringing it back to Sydney is that it looks like their funding hasn't dropped off. And I'm thinking there's a limited pool of money in New South Wales for football. So if that's the case and Sydney FC is basically taking the cream off and maintaining their standards, then is it going to be Western Sydney and MacArthur really struggling to get...
I mean, they're reasonably distinct areas of Sydney. Sydney's a big city, and MacArthur and West Sydney are quite far. I'm pretty sure the same pool of money that's going into West Sydney wasn't previously available to Sydney. It's pretty kind of tribal, if you will, in terms of who they support in those parts of Sydney.
Certainly not crowd money, but crowd money is not the biggest
sponsorship money.
The sponsorship money is exactly what I'm talking about.
Right,
the businesses that are out in West Sydney wouldn't be supporting a central city business.
True.
The ones who would, though, that you might be looking at are the big global brands.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know that they're where Sydney's money comes from.
And to be honest, the big global brands are pulling out of the A-League left, right and centre at the moment. So there's no Hyundai anymore. Just as an example.
No Huawei.
No Huawei, exactly. And so it's becoming those local ones. So you make a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So score predictions, it's probably going to be, for me, 3-1 well, Sydney.
I want to be more positive than that because Gams here, he sees us struggling against Sydney. I mean, we the results last season didn't really go our way, but we absolutely bossed Sydney for solid parts of those games. We were the one team who actually tested Sydney. I think we're going in with a pretty similar lineup.
Do you reckon the Ufuk factor?
We don't know about that back line, but I think in terms of attacking sense, that's where we were bossing them. And, you know, we looked very dominant in the midfield and we created chances. I think we're a chance in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. I don't think we realise how much we're going to miss with Steinman gone.
Yeah.
His ability to control the opposition getting at our back line was really important. And also his ability to basically get hold of the ball and just get rid of it.
Steinman, Taylor and Kikuchi.
Yeah, Kikuchi breaks down our attacking chances. I think it's probably going to be a 2-0. Just because they've got firepower, if we're under any pressure at all, that back line's going to give up a goal or two. And with that on, I don't think we're going to get possession and we're really going to struggle. The only factor in our favour now is that we're now based over there.
True.
And I think that there's no travel. They're going to feel a lot more comfortable being in Sydney. And so psychologically, I think that'll be, and they'll be acclimatised to the weather as well.
And we're in a 24/7 camp.
Yeah.
Well,
that didn't go too well for us in the restart last season.
But that was pretty different situation. Yeah. This
is a one-off.
This is a long-term deal and this is what it is. Hastily put together.
And you can go out to the shops. It's not a bubble. That is the other difference.
Anybody who wanted their family over has their family over.
Actually, you could. I don't know if you still can go to the shops, can you?
You can go to the shops.
Sure. Just not in northern beach suburbs.
Which is, there's no A-League there. So, yeah.
Nor should there be.
Yeah. Do you want to make a score prediction then?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2-0 Sydney.
I'm going to go 3-1 like you. I think we'll score. I think we have goals in us. I genuinely believe we will score goals. I just think against Sydney we will struggle. I think we'll do okay as a team over the season, just not Sydney.
I'm going draw. There's goals, but it's a draw. Something like a 2-2 draw.
Yeah. I said before that it's a shame that we didn't have Brisbane up first, but actually I think this is a pretty good game to have first up.
To get out of the way
when we've seen the other games which are about to go through be very cagey affairs, nobody really firing. I think this is a good game to get.
Where we can sneak a point or two.
Yeah, potentially. Or even just get 90 minutes under our legs, come back next week. I can't remember who it is next week. But
we don't have
who knows, mate.
Oh, there we go. come back in the next game and have some match minutes under our belt and try and win that one. So,
is it Newcastle?
Because they were talking about forward to the 24th. We'll cover off the whole COVID schedule thing. We've got a game on the 9th, the 24th, and then the 31st. Instead of playing 8 between the 29th of December and the 31st of January, we've got 4 games of the course that month instead.
So the games so far have been West United and Adelaide United kicking us off with a 0-0 draw.
Oof. Yeah. What a way to kick off the season.
Yeah.
It's been very low scoring.
No game has had more than one goal.
It looks, honestly, looking at the highlights, it looks like they can't hit the side of a barn. There's been two good shots in one of those games, and both of them well struck from outside the box, and the keeper had to jump up, but didn't have to move at all sideways. And you're kind of like, well, it was Federici was one of them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
He looked good.
Yeah, but if that's the sort of thing you've got to save, you'd hope that.
Yeah. The first goal of the season was for Melbourne City, kind of Metcalf scoring that and their 1-0 win over Brisbane Roar, which was also not
great.
That
was a good goal.
But hey, didn't Dolphin Stadium look amazing compared to Suncorp for the Roar fans? Like,
oh, absolutely.
So happy for them. They get to move out of that monstrosity of a 60,000 seat rectangle and into their version of Hutt Rec, basically.
I mean, we've talked about it before with the W League games being played at Dolphin, and it just looks a much better place to be playing A-League football.
Have you guys been on the ground at Suncorp? It's ridiculous. It's just like it's like you're walking on the beach. There's just sand everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it plays like a sandy field until it rains, in which case it floods.
Yeah.
Like,
when did you get a run out at Suncorp?
My professional career. my family live around the corner from it. So I
so you just broke in at night.
You walk over. I just
wandered in. It was open.
That's brilliant. I like that.
That's so Australian.
But they had 9,000 or 9,500 in, and It looked amazing. Yeah. And like that, that just puts the crowd equation out of the question for me. The people say that 10,000 is the yardstick for a crowd, but 9,500 in there, 9,500 in Hutt Rec for us.
In like close.
10,000 in
jumping.
Hindmarsh, yeah, it makes a huge difference. That's the difference. That's the answer to the crowd problem is smaller stadiums, not bigger crowds. But it was awesome. They had safe smoke as well, which was awesome to see that they got to use that.
I saw they had them on sticks.
Like, yeah, very clever. Awesome.
Unless it spills out.
No, it goes up. But yeah, as we discovered, it works back. It's best if it's up high. But yeah, awesome that the FFA have allowed that in other places, not just at the stadium. So yeah, big ups to everyone at the Den, the Raw, and the Football Australia. Sorry, not FFA at the time, for making that happen.
MacArthur, I thought we were just calling them the FA.
The FA, yeah, sorry. The Football Australia. MacArthur had a 1-0 win in their first ever game against Western Sydney Wanderers. Mark Milligan in the 72nd minute for them. That was a penalty, I think, right?
No, it was a freak deflected free kick.
That's what Echeverria. It was. Yeah.
It was a shit free kick, too. Straight at the wall, and they just jumped out of the way, and it deflected past the keeper.
In the back of the net. And then the Mariners got a Efriabi victory over the Newcastle Jets in their traditional New Year's Eve fixture. Oof.
There's some very happy Mariners fans last night.
Well, they're on top of the table right now. They're top on the Bunnings ladder, as it's called.
The Bunnings ladder.
On alphabetical order.
Oh, and he just got that. The Bunnings ladder.
That's great, right?
That's brilliant.
Well, this is the thing, right? I don't think they're technically the league sponsor.
No, they're not.
They are just sponsoring the ladder, which is great.
Yeah. They're sponsoring the ladder and something else, I remember.
Bunnings, I think the ladder for the W cheers. League as well.
And the white chairs on
and
the side.
And the white Bunnings chairs,
Oh, they should have got actually a ladder company to sponsor the ladder.
That's what it's been previously. If you go on the A-League website, it was a ladder company. I can't remember.
Oh,
it was like DeWalt Ladders or something like that. So, but only on the website. Whereas the thing is that all the supporters are buying into the Bunnings ladder and the Bunnings League.
Oh, because I'm here for that content. Yeah, that's awesome.
I just wanted sausages all every game for those Australians. Like, just
a halftime sizzle.
Roll it out. Everyone goes and lines up in the centre circle for their sausage and heads back.
That'd be outstanding. You know how they do the Dilma tea party for the cricket, just the Bunnings sausage sizzle at halftime.
Get an ex-player down doing the sausage sizzle.
Having a chat over the top of the barbecue.
It's amazing. If you're listening, Australian Professional Leagues organisation.
You're welcome. It's all yours, welcome. Free.
Yeah. That does have Central Coast on top of the league. I don't think it's on alphabetical order, although this is alphabetical order. I think it's yellow cards first. Is that right?
I don't know.
I think it gets out to yellow cards and red cards.
Central Coast were the highest.
Yeah.
Most
Melbourne City have had a red card, so that puts them last out of the three teams that have won.
Adrian Luna.
Yeah. But yeah,
putting the
on top.
Luna and Lunatic.
MacArthur and Melbourne City all with 3 points, and then Adelaide United and West United with their 1 point, putting us currently, as we record, in ninth place, alphabetically behind Melbourne Victory, Perth Glory, and Sydney FC. What is coming up? Other games. Let's look at that. Although, is this in the right order? Who knows?
Well, obviously, there's been a lot of change because of the COVID outbreak in Sydney.
Google does have it in order.
And New South Wales has, because of their restrictions, there are a lot of games that were supposed to be played that haven't called off because they can't travel between states.
Well, that's not in the A-League, I don't think. I think the A-League is pretty safe for now. Correct me if I'm wrong. The W-League, much more heavily affected.
Okay.
Because the border closure between WA and Victoria, for example, has prevented a game already.
Yeah.
But I don't think we have that problem in the A-League.
A-League quite quickly redid the draw to be like, we're going to play New South Wales-based teams New South Wales-based teams.
Gotcha.
They made that call very early and basically split it into two halves of the league and rescheduled for that. So then the restrictions have got stronger since they first announced that, but it hasn't had much more impact because they made that call several weeks ago.
There are piles of games that were scheduled that aren't being played, and we are severely impacted by that across the entirety of January.
The good thing is this hasn't been a late change for us. Like I say, it happened a week or so ago, rather than happening as the restrictions got worse, which is really good proactive stuff from them to recognise this was probably coming. Yeah. Let's schedule the next month or so to fit what we think's about to happen.
Today's game is off. Which was Western Sydney versus Western United. That's off.
Okay, right.
That's been postponed.
Yeah, well, obviously our first game of the season was postponed as well.
Exactly, Okay. Same scenario.
Yeah. Well, Google currently has the updated draw, which is great. And it has us playing at Sydney tomorrow. After our game, immediately after, is Melbourne Victory versus Brisbane Roar. Then on the 3rd, on Sunday night, is MacArthur versus Central Coast, and then Adelaide versus Melbourne City in a doubleheader. And that rounds us out for the week. We'll come back with the rest of those games next week, because that is the end of the weekend. Pretty good set of games coming up. I think MacArthur versus Central Coast will be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if Central Coast are good or not.
Did you see that said about they were talking about Central Coast alum players elsewhere in the league. There was like 26 players or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh.
Yeah. Crazy.
Someone made a crack about transfer fees. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
The Phoenix will be playing in a new kit as well, which we've seen but not talked about now, I think. I think last time we recorded, we hadn't seen it yet, which looks significantly better with a sponsor on the front.
100%. I'm glad we're talking about this with a sponsor there, because it looks 1,000 times better.
It was...
Totally agree.
And I feel bad saying this, because a lot of people put a lot of effort into trying to make that logo good. It looked awful. Like, it was just like this... everyone's seen it, so if you haven't, look it up on your phones, you can see what we're talking about. But, like, that weird train track thing going up the middle.
Skid mark.
And to then just stop at the Paladin logo at the top. And
it just made it look like a butt crack.
Yeah, it looked like it didn't belong there.
I think part of it must have been when they laid this up, when they were doing concept drawings,
it had
a sponsor on it, right?
Yeah.
Surely there was a box there that is like, this is where the sponsor will go.
Yeah, true.
And then when they didn't have one, they were like, ah, oh, crap. What do we do about this?
The thing with the sponsor logo, and it's a man, KPMG, great for getting on board.
Great for having a mono.
Exactly. It's a monochrome. It's just a black logo on the yellow.
Which looks magnificent.
Yeah. I mean, the mock-ups that we had of Huawei logos that were just black and yellow compared to the red gradient thing that they had, the Web 3D, it was talking cheese between the two. But having KPMG there, great. But yeah, it takes a big chunk of the only feature of the kit out, and that makes the kit look better, which says to me that the feature of the kit is a bit shit. It would just look better as just a plain yellow kit, in my opinion. But I don't want that. I just want stripes, which we're not having.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Now that we've got the logo on there, I think it's not our best kit
ever. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's fine.
We can discuss the merits of the yellow shorts till the cows come home and all of that various stuff. Okay. But to be honest, it's just going to be a middling kit.
We understand why they've gone for the yellow shorts, though. So
yeah, 100%.
It's lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not wedded to stripes in the slightest. I'm not 100% on stripes. So but I think if you're going to do stripes.
Exactly.
Do them all stripes.
We've had so many.
We're going to have this conversation on our Patreon later, where we talk about the power rankings of Cam's kits.
Yeah. There we go. So subscribe to Patreon at patreon.com/Phoenix City.
Good plug, mate.
Oh, I'm getting very good at these. Since when?
We haven't recorded in months.
Yeah, that's why.
He's been spending all those months literally practicing. Two months.
He's been practicing. Yeah, I've been sitting there at home going, someone serves me a plate of food. I'm like, this plate of food brought to you by Phoenix City's Patreon.
Can you plug that when you do your live show?
100%.
That'd be awesome.
The live show, 13th of March, the worst game of all time, doing a live show at Fringe of the Griffin. Tickets available at fringe.co.nz at the moment. Search for the worst game of all time. Practice the shit out of that one too.
And double plug there. Nice.
Where were we? Kits. I mean, you're just setting up plugs left, right and centre for everything. So... yeah, where were we? Kits.
Football.
A-League Independence.
Oh.
Is that what we got to?
Yes, it was confirmed yesterday.
Well, not just A-League Independence, but entire...
Should we talk the game Saturday? There's an event on.
Oh, is there? Oh, yeah, Bristol, right. Yeah, the Phoenix hosting us at Bristol, hosting their event at Bristol. I think it's free entry, this one. They've kind of given up on those paid things and scaling them back and just having a chosen pub to go to and... I was a little bit like, about Bristol, but then I realised that when you're there, they don't have the big TVs down. And actually, if you walk past when the rugby game on, they've got two big projector screens that they lower down, and you can see a screen from anywhere in the pub.
Oh, and so, it's a huge space. I think it's really, really interesting. I think this might be why the Phoenix have kind of dropped the paid ticket thing, is they wanted to see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a new space that they haven't used before. You've got massive floor downstairs, massive floor upstairs, and then a little side room upstairs as well.
Yeah.
There's an outdoor area. I think it's going to be interesting. I think if we... actually see decent numbers in there, you know, you'll be hitting a big number of Phoenix fans across three separate areas. It could be really cool.
Yeah, if they're doing three separate areas, they might just be doing one area and then some overflow at the bar or something like that.
Yep.
But yeah.
But I think realistically, if we're getting the sort of numbers down, because obviously there's not going to be home games to go to, if you get a decent whack of those people down, you can definitely pack out the whole of the Bristol. It's just a matter of whether that many people are keen to go watch at the bar. don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people are keen to watch with other people.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's this time of year as well, though. A lot of people out of Wellington.
Yeah,
and
yeah. So obviously, this first one is with a big caveat over it. But as we're heading for the rest of the season, then I think fatigue will kick in if they do it every week. So maybe just the home games, the Wollongong games, do a thing. But yeah.
I think it has a lot more potential than that space they were doing the stuff in downstairs at the church.
Oh, yeah. That was
bad. It's a big bar with a lot of potential to do some cool stuff. Yeah. So.
And good location too.
Good to see what they do with it.
Yeah, and they play. The location for Churchill is nothing around it when you leave.
Exactly. So whereas Bristol is already in the centre of town. Everyone's down this way partying anyway.
And they do play sport there. They play all the All Blacks games and things and UFC there, and it goes well. So head down there on Saturday night. Did we say when the game was? 7:05 on Saturday.
7:05 Saturday. Yeah.
That brings us to it's not A League independence. It's Australian Professional Leagues independence, which involves the A League, W League, and the Y League, and comes with the rights, the licensing rights to the E League as well. So, well negotiated. But this is kind of just the culmination of what we've seen in the making for the past 3-4 years, where the Association of Australian Professional Clubs (APC) has. Been working on this. Rob heavily involved in those negotiations. Rob Morrison, and it's just set in stone now. It's happened. Nothing really groundbreaking. The announcement. It's all the things we expected. The interesting thing is that the FA, the Football Australia, retain control of regulation of the league. Was their wording for it, which from what people have spoken about, I think there was an interview with what's the name of the FA Football Australia chairperson at the moment?
Not Greg O'Rourke, the other.
Not anymore. I forgot his name. Very sorry.
Johnson?
Jack Johnson? No, he's a singer. Something
Johnson.
Yeah. He said that they still retain the right to allow entry and not allow entry. So they'll still have some say over who can be in the league, basically. But I think what this will turn into is a situation like we see in the MLS at the moment where you show that you can sustain a second division team with some demand for it, and then you'll be given a 2-year time frame to jump up into the actual league, kind of like MacArthur, Seattle, and Portland, and all those things show that they had an appetite for it, and up you go.
Well, I think some of the reason for this is not even necessarily that. Like, I'm sure they will bring some commercial metrics around that, but if you're going to go promotion relegation long term, you can't have the league that controls the one top league also controlling who and how the lower grades come up into that. So if your long-term goal is promotion relegation, you've got to have an external body in control of that.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Football Australia retain control of everything second division down and national games. So it makes sense for them to have that control. But I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that makes sense. And it makes sense a whole lot now why there was absolutely no marketing of the league coming into this in Australia. From all accounts, you would have no idea their league was on if you wanted. And it's because why would Football Australia pay a bunch of money to promote a league that's about to change hands? And
when's the cutoff date?
It's happened now.
Oh, it's like...
So that's what's been announced. It was
announced yesterday.
As of the 31st of December 2020, it's done. They now have control of the league. So,
That seems... Because I was expecting it before the season started. To be 4 games in, it's kind of like...
Probably took some time. But if all of the stuff that... Everything that's come out have said that the owners have a lot of big plans to go to take the league back to where it was in engagement and performance, 2014-15 kind of time. So about 5 or 6 years ago where people were actually had good buy-in and there were good crowds and people were properly engaged with it. If they do have lots of these plans and they do come out, it's going to only be good for the game because the guys that own the league really want it to succeed, right?
I just hope that their plans are actually good. I hope they're not trying to recycle some of the things the FFA came out with back then. You know, they're trying to promote derbies and thinking marquee players were the solution. Like, all of this stuff, there are various people who believe that that still is the way to go. But it's just not true. Like, all of those things have some uptick and then a big drop-off. And I really hope the clubs know that. And I'm not sure all of the clubs kind of do. I think if you talk to... some of the people who worked on the Del Piero thing would still argue that doing that again would be successful. And I just don't believe that's actually how the league grows. So I really hope those kind of loud voices with the big war chests are not the ones driving that strategy.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you look at Diamante, he's not on Del Piero's level, but he's not far off, and you haven't seen that massive uptick. I think that's just not
exactly
a thing.
Yeah, no. You've definitely raised the footballing level of that team and therefore the other teams around them, and that's the way that the league should be looking, is you bring in good players. You bring in Tomas and you bring in Diamantes and that kind of thing. You don't bring in a player who's going to do 20,000 every day at the gate, because that doesn't happen. So I think Dave's hit the nail on the head there. But you've got enough people in that leadership group. I think Gregor Rourke knows that, and I think that Rob certainly knows that stuff doesn't work, and they've never done that. And so I think you will see enough level-headedness on there, but you've still got your Tony Sages, who wants to run the world on Bitcoin
exactly.
as part of it. So it's kind of interesting how that all plays out.
No, not when he sells it to some geezer in a lambs coat.
Yeah. Bizarre. But yeah, I reckon that has covered the A-League. I don't think there's more to talk about with the A-League at the moment. Everyone's shaking their heads around, so let's move on to the Handy Prem, which is currently on holiday break. When does it return, Cam? Do you know?
Next weekend. I think the 9th. I think that's right.
I think you're right too. Recent results. Here we go.
We'll just run through the table, really.
Well,
there's been a lot of games.
True, yeah.
Most of the season since we last recorded.
Yeah, this is
the good thing about this league, though, this season, is that it's really tight.
Oh, yeah.
There's some...
Auckland City dropping those first few games, or dropping points, and Tedup's also dropping points. Eastern Suburbs doing pretty well at the moment.
And going away.
Yeah, true.
That makes a world of difference.
And the Weenix.
Performing really, really well.
Yeah, doing amazingly.
Yeah, although, yeah, so last round, the Weenix lost 4-1 to Auckland. T-Dubs beat Canterbury United 3-1. I think that was a Hamish Watson triple? No, Hamish Watson double.
Double.
Yeah. I've just clicked the wrong button. Hawke's Bay United 2-0, finally getting a win. They've deserved it for a while over Waitakere United. And Eastern Suburbs dispatching Hamilton, ending Hamilton's good run, which puts the table looking quite interesting after six games. T-Dubs on top on 12 points, 3 draws, 3 wins. Eastern Suburbs on 11, 1 point behind. Level with Hamilton, actually. And Auckland City, 1 point behind that on 10. So Auckland in fourth at the moment, which is not where they would like to be at Christmas.
But it is only 2 points behind the top.
Exactly.
And it's very, very tight.
Yeah. And even then, you've got the Weenix knocking on the door for semi-finals. Can they make a semi-final? I can't remember what the rules are. Yeah,
no.
So that's a shame. But yeah, Waitakere, Canterbury and Hawke's Bay, 6-6-3. Hawke's Bay don't deserve to be down there. They deserve to be up with the Weenix, in my opinion.
They've been playing fantastic football.
Yeah, exactly. So if they can turn that around, I mean, it's a 7-point gap to Auckland at the moment, which is not something that you can't finish off, to close up with 12 games to go. But no, not 12 games to go anymore, is it?
No, there's not.
It's 14, so it's 8 games to go.
But so it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But I think you're looking at that top four being pretty locked in, unless Hamilton fall away drastically.
Again, good playing good football.
Yeah.
The lack of imports this season has made a world of difference.
True,
it's really leveled everything up.
Yeah.
Team Wellington has had a relatively consistent squad, so they're all used to playing with each other. They've had a season under Scotty, so they understand what he wants to achieve. So theoretically, they will be strong all the way through, though they started very, very badly.
Yeah.
It took a while for them to come into it, but like the last game, they're doing much better. It's honestly each team is having like a standout game and then coming back to the mean. I watched Eastern Suburbs play the Weenix earlier this season and absolutely play them off the park. The best football I've seen from a team in the Handy Prem in God knows how long. 4-0, absolutely destroyed them, but then come back and lose, you know?
Yep.
And Auckland City against Team Wellington, first 23-24 minutes before they got Brian Kautak sent off, they were dominant. They were incredibly dominant and playing brilliant football. But again, they come back and they lose. And it's just there's a lack of consistency across those teams, and bringing everybody back to that mean is quite it's bringing for a great table and a really interesting season.
I wonder if in the back of their heads they've got the issue with, you know, what happens next year.
Well, I think that's played a big part in it, obviously, with Team Wellington and Auckland City not existing after the season, which is, you know,
not existing in their current named format.
No, but they won't exist as clubs, because whilst they are connected to a winter club, it's the winter club that will go through into the National League, not the club that currently exists in Team Wellington or Auckland City.
I think some people would argue they're not clubs already.
Yeah, they're franchises. And they are franchises. I think, let's talk about this another day, but I think you'll just see Team Wellington turn into Miramar and Auckland turn into Central and potentially rebrand those clubs. Certainly in Auckland City's case. The National Women's League, ISPC Handa Women's Premiership, had their grand final on the week before Christmas. And Canterbury United unfortunately got up 4-0 over Capital Football with 4 second half goals. Cap Football had a pretty good first half, but it couldn't score and then made to pay in the second half, which after the season it was probably fair for Canterbury to win it, but obviously you'd be kicking yourself if you were Capital after putting in such a good shift in the first half to not be able to come around and win that. There were some awards given out after it. Kaylee Ward from Capital won the Golden Boot, and MVP went to Georgia Candy from Capital as well, who was the goalkeeper. So, yeah, that's the unfortunately not a double round robin of that one because of all the stuff that's happened this year, but hopefully we see that go back to being two rounds when we head to new format next year. And I would like to open up to the floor to ask if anybody has anything else to raise before we wrap up for the week.
I got two things.
Yep.
If you want to see a good goal in the W League, Princess Sabini's crack.
Oh, screamer, right?
What a beauty.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a nudge from outside the box. And the other thing I would ask, what your football highlights of 2020 were. Tough question, I know.
You can't spring that on me.
I can't. No, no. But you can always turn off the recording and we can wait.
Yeah. Don't know.
Cam will know.
Cam, what was your football highlight of 2020?
Liverpool in the league.
Yeah, that's fair. Dave, do you know yours? I've got mine now. I've realised what mine is. And it was nothing to do with being on the field. It was New Zealand and Australia getting awarded the 2023 Women's World Cup. That was the best thing to happen in football for the year.
Yep.
For me.
2020 is a weird one because I honestly think my highlight would be something club related.
That's fair.
I saw some great goals down at New Zealand Park this season. So it's probably one of those rather than anything we saw with the Phoenix or any of that. Because 2020 has felt very long and kind of pre-lockdown Phoenix almost doesn't feel like 2020 anymore. I mean, I know it technically was, but it feels so long ago. It's hard to... Hard to pick something out of that.
And unfortunately, those memories have been tainted by the fact that the season went kaput after it.
Exactly. Yeah. 2020 feels like that little short bit that was crap for the Phoenix.
Yeah.
This new season about to begin feels a bit more like the 2020 season. I don't know. It's odd.
But choosing stuff down at Newtown and club football is absolutely fine.
Yeah, man.
Frosty, what's yours?
Well, the reason I asked is because I'd forgotten that, like, I thought that Bayern winning Champions League was 2019. It felt so long ago. Yeah. It was only a couple of months ago.
Yeah, right. It was after restart. Yeah.
And it's like it's completely gone out of my head. It's like,
this is why you asked this question. You just wanted to talk about Bayern again, like usual.
Can we please? No, we've got nothing to talk about.
He said the word buy in before, and I thought he was going to like getting buy in from players, and I thought he was going to segue into the Bayern Munich thing.
I'll write that one down actually.
Yes.
And speaking of Bayern.
Yes. Yeah. But that'll be the pod for this week. Thank you for bearing with us while we have been a bit loose with our recording dates. It was hard with Christmas and just super hard with no football happening. There were things to talk about, but hard to organise. But now that the Phoenix are kind of falling back into a somewhat regular schedule, we'll try and be back every week. One episode per Phoenix game. If the schedule starts changing all over the place, we'll be trying to keep up with it. But we'll try and do one a week. Thank you for listening as always. And come on, you Knicks. Cheers.
Independence Day brings you. It's good to be back brings you.
We're not really back, though.
Back tomorrow.
Yeah, not really.
Home and away brings you.
Away and away is more accurate.
Yep.
Wollongong Fire Chickens brings you.
All right. Next time you're at the pub, you should just yell out, fire chicken.
Hoppy hummus crapper. That's not it.
Hoppy hummus crapper.
First outtake for the new year.
What the fuck was that?
That went to shit.
Hoppy hummus crapper brings you.
Hoppy hummus crackers bring you was what I was going for. And it went wrong, everybody.
There wasn't even a P in there.
Nope.
And somehow you just threw it in.
I'd like
to
apologize.
What were you trying to say?
Hoppy hummus crackers. That's what I was trying to say. I'd just like to apologize to the podcast team. I'd like to apologize to the listeners. I let you both down, but most of all, I've let myself down. So.